You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast.
The Sick Podcast.
With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur.
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the ball!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne! Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Tout pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro, on this Thursday, February 22nd, the Montreal Canadiens lose by a score of 4-1 in Pittsburgh, and that includes an empty netter right at the end by Christopher Letang, who scored two goals in this hockey game tonight. The Canadiens, two games in two nights, they absolutely suck. As a matter of fact, I haven't checked the stats. I don't think they've won a game when they've played 2-2 this season. If they have, it's probably one, but I don't think they've won any, to tell you the truth. We're going to discuss, there's so much to talk about. Turnovers, bad penalties, mistakes, lack of execution. Caden Primo, one, maybe two that he probably should have had, especially the first one that the shot was actually looked like it was going wide, but he stuck out his blocker. It hit the bottom of his blocker and it went in after the Montreal Canadiens took a 1-0 lead on a goal by Michael Matheson off of a Christopher Letang turnover. Then it was Matheson with a turnover and a Christopher Letang goal to tie it. And it was 1-1 after one. And then in the second period, the Pittsburgh Penguins scored a goal to make it 2-1. They scored it on the power play. Because guess who took a bad penalty again? Has he learned his lesson? No. Did the coach call him out at the end of the game? Not really. You're going to hear the clip at one point. We're going to play it for you. Brendan Gallagher holding on Jeff Carter in the neutral zone. It was a penalty that he didn't have to take. There was no need to hold him up. Matheson was way back, and he was going to get to the puck first, but he took it, and the Pittsburgh Penguins scored a goal on that power play, a deflection by Brian Rust off of a shot by Erik Karlsson to make it 2-1. And then Cole Caulfield loses his blade. I think it's the second game in a row, as a matter of fact, that he loses his blade, and he's crunched into the boards by O'Connor, who then joins the rush. It turns into a 4-on-3, and it goes from Malkin to Karlsson to Pustinen over to O'Connor, and his wrist shot beats Caden Primo. I think Primo could have had that one as well. And that gave the Pittsburgh Penguins a 3-1 lead after two. And then they go to period number three, and the Canadiens pull the goalie. And guess who turns the puck over? Yes, it's Joel Armia. Maybe you're wondering, what is Joel Armia doing on the ice to begin with? I don't know, but he was on the ice, turns the puck over to Christopher Letang, who turns around. He knew exactly where the net was because he took a look at it before he got the puck. 200 feet down the ice, he scores in the empty netter, and the Pittsburgh Penguins win by a score of 4-1. Grant McCagg of Recruits and Recruits.ca, a former scout in the Bob Gainey administration, will join us in about a minute or two. Not before I talk to you about Energy Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. Also brought to you in part by La Bitte TB, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bitte TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bitte TB, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground, over 600 machines, poker tournaments, and Playground casino games. Daily promotions, unmatched customer service. Why go anywhere else? Located just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Playground, and also brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions, because you know by now that all insurance isn't created equal, and you know where to find the right insurance for you. Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product right on the money, whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business. And once again, thanks so much for the partnership, and thanks so much for the friendship. Energy Transportation Group, thank you. Playground, thank you. La Bitte TB, thank you. Accent Insurance Solutions, thank you. And thank you, my Sick Army and my Sick community, for watching. And even though the Montreal Canadiens are in a rebuild, I have a feeling a lot of you are going to vent tonight. So I'm going to give you the number right now, and I'm going to tell you that in probably about 30 minutes time, who knows, maybe even earlier, we are going to get to your phone calls. The number to call is going to be a toll-free number of 1-888-585-SICK. 1-888-585-7425. Without further ado, I bring him in. Grant McCagg, what's going on?
New theme song there, intro song, Tony, or what?
For now, yes. I think we're going back to the old song. There's a reason why we actually changed songs, and it's not because two or three people in every 40 or 50 told us that they don't actually like it. It's something to do with YouTube and copyright and all that stuff.
It wasn't peer pressure or anything? No. After a bad loss like that, you didn't want to, you know, riding high on the slate of emotions, you know, with maybe you thought it was, I thought maybe you thought it was inappropriate or something, but.
No. It's actually been a new song for the entire week, if memory serves me well.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't catch the start of your podcast this week. Sorry, Tony.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. Have they won a game when they've been playing 2-2 this year? I don't think so.
You know what? That's when you mentioned that, I was wondering that myself. If they have, it's once. They certainly, it's not more than once, that's for sure. I know at one point they had not, and I think you might be right on that. If they have, it was one time, but they have not been good on the back-to-backs, so that's for sure.
Someone answered and said yes against Chicago.
Okay. I thought it might have been once. Sense. Yeah,
that makes sense. As a matter of fact, hold on a second as we go here and we take a look. That would be when? That would be in versus Chicago. Yeah, they had played in Minnesota the night before. They lost by a score of 4-3. And the night after that, they won in Chicago by a score of 5-2. That was back on Friday, December 22nd. That's when it was. Yeah. Good. Maybe I don't remember because I don't usually work Friday night shows. Maybe that's the reason why I didn't remember. All right, okay. Once again, Grant McCagg is our guest, if you haven't recognized him by now. And he's got Recruits and Recruits.ca magazine that you can pick up for $3.99 per month. That is basically turnkey. It gives you access to absolutely everything. Mock drafts, scouting reports, articles, interviews. Yeah.
You've said magazine a few times now, and I don't have a magazine.
Internet. Pardon me. Yes.
Okay. Website.
Yeah. Website. Pardon me. Yes. Okay. The website. They used to be print, you know, print, but I
started in the print, you know, I published newspapers actually in magazines, for a lot of years before I got into scouting and started the, scouting website. So
yeah. I got confused because you gave me a book that you wrote.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I do have a publishing background, but print journalism kind of got in the way of the dodo thanks to the internet, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so look, here's the moment, all right? It's not the first bad penalty that Brendan Gallagher has taken this season. There was no use for him to take that penalty. Not that it's going to change anything. I mean, the Montreal Canadiens are not going to make the playoffs. At the same time, though, they have not, you know, they're not, you know, I got the whole embrace the tank hoodie on, but they're not trying to lose purposely here, all right? They are competing. They're taking shots. There's just some mistakes. There is some lack of talent. They have a decimated lineup, and we knew that they were an average team to begin with. But Brendan Gallagher takes a penalty in the neutral zone, a useless penalty. Pittsburgh goes on the power play. Crosby wins a draw clean versus Suzuki, and then very smartly ties up Suzuki, kind of gets in his way and gets Suzuki from getting to the point. And a Carlson wrister goes through traffic and is deflected by Rust. At the end of the game, Marty St. Louis is asked about Brendan Gallagher's penalty. This is what the coach had to say.
Mission qui a mené au deuxième but, c'est Brendan Gallagher qui commet l'infraction. Ouais. Est-ce que tu as besoin de... Tu le sais que c'est un vétéran et qu'il comprend, mais comment tu gères un peu ça, une situation comme ça?
C'est pas une punition qu'on était obligé de prendre. Puis je sais que Gally, c'est ça.
There you have it. It's not a penalty that we were obliged to take, and I'm sure that Gally knows it.
Yeah. Did you see the look on his face when, on Marty's face when they panned to him when Gally took that penalty? If they'd asked him right then, you might have got a little better answer because he was not happy.
It's once again, it's a coach who's respecting his veterans.
Yes.
And is giving you a different answer for a veteran than he would if it's a younger player. Yeah.
And stuck him out on the next power play, too, if you notice. Like, if that would have been Therrien,
yeah,
Gallagher wouldn't have seen the ice. You know the way Therrien was. Look,
I understand that, and I think it's easy to pick on Michel right now. And, you know, Marty's got a different approach, and he's got a different attitude, and everyone loves him.
But
it doesn't mean we have to agree with him, because what he's doing is different strokes for different folks.
No, I didn't, I wasn't saying that was a bad thing for Therrien.
I saw that in my old job, by the way, different strokes for different folks. But anyway, now we're seeing it here with the Montreal Canadiens. Okay. Different strokes for different folks.
Right. By the way, Tony,
right,
I just...
that he's doing that?
I didn't hear you say about how cold the water was in the urinal there when you'd said it, but then I listened to it again later, and then I got the joke, by the way. So that was pretty funny.
Thank you. All right. Okay. once again, it's okay. I don't. Sometimes younger coaches, and now Marty, by the way, is the ninth most senior coach in the National Hockey League. It's incredible the turnover in the last 2 years. Crazy. And I guess you can make the argument that no coach is ever safe, however young, however old, however how much seniority, however how little. But I just feel, and Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, that Marty is really in a position of strength. He's Jeff Gordon's guy. He's Kent Hughes' guy. He's their guy. He's the Canadians' guy. They love him. They're in a rebuild. They like the work that he's done so far. They believe that they have progressed, especially with some of their very key players, like Suzuki, like Caulfield, like Slafkovský. Matheson has taken a step forward. Samuel Montembeau has taken a step forward. There are a couple of others. Jaden Struble has had a really, really good year.
Is he out, do you think? Did he come back?
No, he did not come back. Yeah. Marty St. Louis did not have an injury report on him at the end of the game. He was not putting any pressure on his knee whatsoever. I'm not a doctor. It didn't look good.
No, it could be like something on the knee. Did something ligaments to his knee or something like that.
It did not look good at all. Strong guy. He couldn't put any weight on it at all. But what I was getting to is, does Marty have to tread so carefully with his veterans? Does he have to tread so carefully with, so let's just say that he doesn't have to call out Gallagher publicly. Right. And he doesn't have to, but let's just say it's a little bit of a different tone and it's a couple of different words. Is Gally going to put Marty's job in peril? Because by being very lenient on Gallagher and not so lenient had the player been Jack Eye, It just, once again, could there be guys in that locker room that are saying, ah, there he goes again, protecting Galley?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I do know that, like I say, Therrien would have stapled him to the bench, and a lot of coaches would have after that, because it's happened time and time again this year. It was a lazy penalty, like really bad penalty, and it swung the momentum of the game just completely. Like, Montreal is so lacking in talent. When you put a Gallagher and an Anderson on your second power play, you have no room for error like that, you know, and it's little things like that, and then them scoring the next shift after. That was the game right there. So, I think you got to tread a little carefully there. But, I mean, I'm not in the dressing room. I don't know exactly how Marty's looking at things that way. But he is certainly a player's coach, and he's not losing the room. And he's there for the long haul, I think. I think both Gorton and Hughes, you know, didn't expect them to be contending this year, really. It was a 2 years of pain that they were going to endure, two and a half, I guess, and get another high pick. I mean, you almost, when he has Armia out trying to score, you almost wonder if, you know, like, what's he doing out there? I know they're not purposely trying to tank, but it does cross your mind when you see that, like, geez, you know, is Marty in on the, like, let's get a high pick or what's going on?
So someone sent me a tweet midway through the game, and it was after that Gallagher penalty, I think, and he was like, what are Gallagher, Anderson, and Armia still doing here? Can you give me a legitimate reason why? And I wrote back and I said, yeah, there's a very legitimate reason why. And I took a picture, basically a snapshot of Cap Friendly and CapFriendly.com, and showed their salary over the next couple of years. Right. And Brendan Gallagher making 6.5 this year and 6.5 million for the next 3 years. Josh Anderson making 5.5 this year and 5.5 for the next 3 years. And Yoel Armia making 3.4 million this year and making 3.4 million next year. Not to mention that Brendan Gallagher has a no movement clause, and Brendan Gallagher has a modified no trade clause where the player submits a 6-team no trade list. Josh Anderson has a modified no trade clause where he submits an 8-team no trade list. And over the next 2 years, it's going to be a 5-team no trade list. So that's the reason why they're still here. I mean, look, folks,
right?
I know a lot of people are in the YouTube live chat right now, and they're saying that, you know, Canadians are always in a rebuild. They're always in a rebuild. We got to be honest too, right? We got to be honest. Kent Hughes arrives. He's got Armia's contract. He's got Dvorak's contract. He's got Anderson's contract. He's got Gallagher's contract. He's handcuffed on four players. If those players are not his cup of tea, there's nothing he can do about it because he can't move them because of the contracts. And he might have to wait until the very last day, till their contracts are over, for them to be gone, or until the deadline of the very last year. And then he can trade them, and the other team that's going to pick them up is only going to have about a month and a half salary to pay, of course.
Yeah. They might have to end up doing something like Calgary did with Monahan if, you know, down the road they think that they're, you know, we got to contend here and we're going to need some salary cap room. They've made so many, you know, by next year they'll have made so many first round picks in recent drafts, and they think, okay, we don't really need to keep stocking up on picks. We need to get better now. You might see something like Gallagher dealt for and a first round pick or something like that, right? That kind of a deal with another team might be the only way you can get rid of one of these contracts. It's a possibility down the road, because at some point, Tony, simple math tells you you can only have six first round picks in your top six, right? You can only have four first round picks in your top four pairing. Like, at some point, you have to, okay, say the rebuild's over. We're trying to win now, but we're going to need cap space because we want to bring in a high salary top six player that's going to contribute. So they turn around and they deal it to a team that's got cap space, like Chicago or something. Say, here, you take Gallagher. Yeah. Here's a first round pick. Thank you. You know, maybe we'll end up seeing some kind of a deal like that for one of those guys, because I just can't see them having those three. It's going to hamstring them, especially in a year when they have to give Slaff and Gooley, and these guys are going to probably get those long-term nice contracts, right?
They're going to get the 8 years, you know. Yeah. And I said that on I was on La Poche Bleue the other night with Maxime LaPierre and Guillaume Latendresse, and a lot of them were saying, "Hold on a second, you know, you don't have to give Slaff the bridge contract." And I said, "Guys, Slaff is getting the 8-year contract."
Oh,
and then they said, "Well, you know what? Just because you did it for some, you don't have to do it for the others. If one person jumps off the bridge, you're going to jump off too." I said, "Guys, you're trying to create a team unity. You're trying to keep your core players happy. You gave the guy that you acquired via trade, who was a 13th pick in the draft, you gave him an 8-year deal at 7.875. You give the guy who you drafted 15th overall very early on in his tenure, you give him an 8-year deal at 7.85. And Slafkovský, you draft first overall in your own building, the entire package, already a 200-foot player, 95 games into his NHL career. You're not going to give him an 8-year deal? How do you think that's going to sit with him?"
Oh, and I mean, they aren't going to have to pay him $10 million or anything at that point, unless Slaff has like 90 points next year. You know, I mean, it's possible, but it kind of sets up well, because he won't be able to justify getting $10 million on an 8-year deal probably. So, I mean, if you can sign a first overall pick after his ELC, that's going to be as good as Slafkovský is to an 8-year, $8 million, you run to the bank, you sign that deal instantly. So, there'll be no bridge contract for Slaf. That would not be a good idea, because who knows? Something could be a falling out of some sort in a year and a half, or they keep losing and Slaf, "Oh, I want to move," or whatever. You just don't want to chance it. You sign him to an 8-year deal too. I agree completely.
So you believe that in 1 year from now, Juraj Slafkovský will become the highest paid forward in the history of the Montreal Canadiens?
I didn't say that, but I said that he'll be in the neighborhood of what it probably, well, it depends
eight,
on how many
million
points
dollars
he gets
a year would make him. $8 million a year would make him the highest paid forward in the history of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, well, I was rounding off, Tony. I mean, it's 7.87.
No, but I don't have a problem with it, by the way, because...
Well, no, it depends partly on, you know, if he has 30 points next year, no, they probably won't sign him to the biggest contract ever. But if he keeps progressing like we think, and he's 60 points or whatever, sure, 8 years, $8 million. If he gets 90 or 100 points, you're going to have to sign him. You're going to have to offer him more than that. So we'll see. We'll see how next year goes.
There's two ways of looking at it, I think. You keep the captain as the highest paid player on the team because you've decided internally within the organization that you want the captain to make the most. And that's why they didn't give Cole more than Nick. And even though Nick's contract was signed 2 years before Cole's, Or you just say, you know what? Slaff is our number one guy, and he's going to be our best player, and he's the guy who's going to end up getting more than Suzuki. Slice right. it any way you want, but Slaff is going to be in that 7 to 8 range. I mean, Suzuki gets, once again, 7.875, and Caulfield gets 7.8, and Slaff's drafted first overall. He's making over $7 million, and it wouldn't shock me if they give him 8. And not to mention that the cap will go up in the future, and NHL salaries will go up in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, he'll be a bargain in 5 years, no matter what they sign him at.
All right, okay. I want to talk to you about Joshua Roy.
Oh.
I liked his game again.
Yeah.
Okay. He got taken into the boards at one time, and I'm sure he's going to have to put on some muscle, and I'm sure he's going to have to get a little bit stronger. But you know what he does after he gets hit? He gets back up. And he goes right back into the mix. Now, there were a couple of knocks on this player going into the season, Grant, or going into his NHL draft or along the way. Mm. One was his skating, and two was his grit level. In the past couple of games, this guy is hungry.
Yeah.
He is hungry.
That assist that he got last night, was that effort or what? That was beautiful. He's been their best forward the last two games. Would you agree? Would you agree with me on that?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, look, tonight, he was, I didn't think there was anyone that really stood out. Yesterday, I thought there was a couple of guys that were good, but he was their best forward. But tonight, Did you see some of the numbers that Joshua Roy put up, with obviously without scoring goals, because the only goal scorer of the night was Mike Matheson?
He had, a few shots.
5 shots on goal tonight.
He had 3 shots on that one play, Tony. He had the one he went in the boards. He had 3 shots in a 5 second span. And I think we got a good glimpse last year at the World Juniors, that any knock on him not being gritty was a false one. And his coach, I talked to him last year too, and they, you know, he did mention, his junior coach, that he took a step in the off season and worked harder again. And, you know, I mean, in his draft year before he got traded, he was 20 to 30 pounds overweight. You know, lazy, that was the knock on him. That's why he went to fifth round. I mean, he was the first overall pick in the Q draft. Mm-hmm. And, but then, you know, he didn't know how to train, and was just a little bit naive. And hey, wake up call when he went to the new team. They got him straightened out, got him working out. He lost 20 pounds between the end of the season, or when he got traded, and by the draft. So that, you got an idea. Okay, so he's getting serious about it. And he just kept building on it every offseason. And no, there's no issue with his grit. And yeah, he's never going to be an above average NHL skater speed wise, but he competes. If he compete hard, he anticipates the play so well, reads the play. His hockey sense is top, is elite, and that's what's going to be his bread and butter going forward, along with obviously a great shot and good puck skills. Skilled player, really smart, and his competitiveness, he's figured it out. He's got it, and I'm really a lot more, I feel a lot more comfortable that he's going to be a second-line forward for the Habs, I think, going forward here.
I think so. I got to tell you something. I thought that all along. That Joshua Roy would be a second line player or a top two line player. And, you know, I really like the way he's playing right now. He's got the vision. He's got the IQ. He's shown us the grit over the past couple of games. You know, not a great skater. You're right. Nick Suzuki, there were question marks about his skating as well. You know, if you're a great skater, you could go a long ways in the National Hockey League. Clearly, Connor McDavid wouldn't be as effective as he is if he didn't skate the way he did. But hockey IQ, for me, smarts, that's the number one tool that you need to have in your toolbox, because you can make up for the lack of speed. If you have the smarts, if you know where to go, if you anticipate, if you end up going where the puck's going to be, if you position yourself well, you know,
yeah,
if you do certain things with your stick, he's very, very smart. I like him a lot. Once again, more shots than any player in that hockey game tonight. Are you ready for something? I have something that I think is going to surprise you and surprise a lot of people.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a number. The number that I'm going to give you is 21-23. And the other number that I'm going to give you is the number 2. Do you know what these two numbers are?
No.
Arber Jacki played 21 minutes and 23 seconds tonight for the Canadiens, second only to Mike Matheson, who obviously plays 25 minutes a game every game. Matheson played 24:52. Arber Jacki, 3 weeks ago, was getting 10 minutes.
Mm.
3 weeks later, 21-23. You remember when Struble arrived and he was getting 10 minutes, and then, you know, 2 months later, he was getting 18, and we're saying, wow, we saw the progression. Well, they must like what Jacki's been doing over the last little while, because Jacki almost had 22 minutes tonight.
Yeah. Well, I guess
With Struble's injury,
it, you know, had something to do with it, obviously, Tony, because then they were down to five defensemen. So everyone got a little more ice time than they would have. But even still, he was the second most, you're saying, right?
So, correct. He was the second most.
But were there other – there must have been others over 20 or close
Gooley was high. Gooley was at 20:47, but David Savard was at 18:13, and and Jordan Harris was at 15:37.
Okay, yeah. Well, hey, you saw the post game comments last night. He was pretty, you know, Marty had lots of good things to say about Arber last night.
Yeah.
And don't call him Sheriff. Don't call him Sheriff, by the way. Did you catch that part? He's not the Sheriff. They don't call him Sheriff.
I saw that. Yeah. We don't call him Sheriff. Now, that nickname was given to him in junior hockey, correct?
I think so, you know. I know his mom calls him that on social media and stuff. So, you know, it's probably maybe assumed that they call him that in the dressing room, but they don't. Apparently, that, according to Marty last night anyway, you know.
No,
I don't know if they call him Wi-Fi.
They call him Wi-Fi, yeah.
Yeah.
They call him Wi-Fi.
Well, I know that's what he was dubbed by the guy that's out there, defenseman. The Weidman.
Yeah. Listen, this three goalie system, it hasn't, you know what? It hasn't been good for Jake Allen, and it wasn't good for Caden Primo. And it's a couple of games now that it hasn't been good for Primo. Like he played a game. I don't know what it was a month and a half ago. He thought he got a shutout. And I was like, wow, that's great. But like tonight he gave up the first goal that he gave up was terrible. I thought he should have had the 3-1 goal too, personally. I thought it was a weak goal. It's a 4-on-3, but I mean, it was just, you know, that's not a 50 goal scorer who's shooting that puck on you. The shot by Letang, the shot, I think it was wide, and he sticks out his blocker and hits the bottom of his blocker, but he never seemed very sure of himself. And these guys are rusty. Every time they get in, they're rusty.
How often do you see a goalie get a shutout and then not play for, what was it, 10 days? That, you know, is it ever happened? But Primo got a shutout and then he doesn't get back in for 10 days.
You know what happened when Scotty Bowman was coaching and your goalie would win? He played the next game.
Yeah,
Play the next game. And if he would have got a shutout,
I would have rode him. I would have rode him till he had a bad game. I would have, you know, let's see what this kid can do. Get him when his confidence is good. Yeah, you've got the three goalies, but hey, the other goalies would understand if you put the guy that just got a shutout back in, would they not? You know,
I think so. By the way, speaking of internal competition, what more to motivate you if you're a goaltender? If the other guy goes out, he gets a shutout. You know what? He's got his net again. But when you know that you're three goalies and Montembeau is going to play, I don't know, he's going to play two out of three, And the third one that he's not going to play, one time it's going to be Allen, and the other time that he's going to play two out of three, the other time it's going to end up being Primo. They know what to expect. So what hunger can you have from your goaltenders?
Yeah.
But if you start riding the guy who stands on his head or wins games, don't you think when the other guys are going to get in, they're going to be like, you know what? If I want that net for 2, 3, 4, 5 games, it's up to me. I got to stand on my head.
But yeah.
they think that Allen and Primo think that no matter what they do, they'll get another start in 10 days. Maybe 2 weeks.
I wish it was a little more of a meritocracy at times, you know? Like bothers me that Josh Anderson stays on the second line. Even though he's not, like, if you put a tape of him when he's really going, like any game where you see the power horse, and then any of the games we've seen in the last about 10, you would just startle you. There's just the difference in the effort level. Like, I don't know why he's so inconsistent this year with his effort. Usually you at least got that, but there's nights out there where you just don't see that burst, that power, you know, power forward. I don't know. But he keeps trotting him out on the power play. He's got, what, 3 goals or something like that? And he still goes out in the power play, even when he's not, the effort's not there. Give it to another guy. Let throw a cookie to somebody that's having a good game. And I'd have gave Colin White. Colin White had a really good first period. That line was excellent.
I'm glad you brought him up, because for those who missed it.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because for those who missed it, he was picked up on waivers earlier today. He belonged to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and when the Canadians arrived at the arena, he was basically there waiting for them. So the Canadians pick up Colin White on waivers, who, by the way, is a former draft pick of the Ottawa Senators 7 or 8 years ago. And by the way, a former client of Kent Hughes. He's a Boston boy. Kent Hughes knows him well. He played tonight for the Canadians, as Grant just mentioned. And Brandon Gignac, by the way, was placed on waivers earlier today. Obviously, the Canadians would love to keep Gignac. They're hoping he's not going to get picked up so that they can send him to Laval. They're probably saying, you know what? No use in keeping some younger players here, or some players that can help Laval, some American Hockey League players or some tweeners. Let's get those guys back to Laval if we can, and maybe they can help Laval down the stretch. Let's bring in some veterans here so that, you know, we don't have to have any of the young kids pick up bad habits. Grant, as a guy who spends his days watching tape, breaking down tape, taking a look at players, evaluating players, scouting players, and a guy who used to work for the Montreal Canadiens in their scouting department, between you and I, and nobody listening or watching, does every loss kind of, does it sit okay with you? Like, are you pretty happy about it because it gives the Canadiens a better chance or what?
It's at that stage of the year, right, Tony? It's at that stage of the year where, yeah, you know, there are 5 really good prospects in this draft. I mean, there's 10 to 12, but the top tier are always, there's just so, you hope that one of the 5 guys that you really like is going to be available to the Habs. And obviously, you know, Ottawa wins again, right? They've got 3 games in hand or whatever it is. They're going to climb over the Habs, it looks like. I want Slafkovský to get a point or two, games to be close, and lose by a goal. That's what I don't mind that recipe right now at all. Entertaining games, close. Slav and Roy and Suzuki and Caulfield getting points, but losing tight games. That to me, at this point, perfect.
I want 4-2 losses, 4-3 losses, 5-3, 5-4, 6-4, maybe even 6-5 every now and then. Why not? I want the number one line to do well. I want Joshua Roy to do well. I want the development to continue for guys like Slafkovský and guys like Joshua Roy. I want Arbor Jack guy to get more minutes. You know what? I want to see Primo a little bit more to see what he's got, like you mentioned. And that's it. That's what I'm looking for as well. So Chicago is last, and it looks like the only battle that they're probably going to have is going to be between them and San Jose, I would think. Chicago's got 33 points. San Jose's got 35. Anaheim's got 42. Now, listen to this. Columbus is fourth last with 46, okay? Arizona fifth last with 50. Ottawa sixth last with 51. Canadians 52 points, but Ottawa's got three games in hand. Arizona, by the way, has a game in hand on the Canadians. The Columbus Blue Jackets, who are fourth last in the league with 46 points, they're 6 points behind the Canadians, and they have two games in hand. You know, like, I got to tell you something. I like Montembeault. He's clearly been the Montreal Canadiens' best goaltender this season. But Montembeault last year stole points for the Canadiens when they should not have had points, and it put them further away from Bedard. And I know it's a lottery, and I know that in the end, Chicago won it. I don't want Montembeault to play that many games this year for the rest of the season. I really don't, because he's their best goaltender. He gives them their best chance to stay in games and pick up points. I hope he doesn't get too many games. I really don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, the scout in me wants the Canadians to get as high a pick as possible. It's there are some really tantalizing prospects that they could. I mean, I'd love for them to get Demidov. That would be just fantastic if they ended up with that kid. And, you know, he could go anywhere from two, I think, to five. So, I mean, Lindstrom, obviously, or Celebrini, any of those three forwards, I would just love. Or Zane Parekh. I know a lot of fans just think, and maybe you do, Tony, as well, that there's no way that they can take another defenseman, but
I'm okay if they do. We saw that when Anaheim traded Drysdale for Cutter Gauthier, that you can take a defenseman fifth or sixth in the draft and end up trading him for a player who's drafted sixth or seventh who's a forward. You can pull it off.
Well, for sure. I mean, you can even trade, you could even trade Logan Mailloux down the road if you had to. I mean, not to Simon Boisvert's team. If he was, if he was a GM of a team, you wouldn't trade him to that team because it'd be for the team bus. But
you have Parekh that high, eh?
I have him third.
Wow.
He's going to score 100 points this year.
Wow. I've seen some mock drafts that have him as the third defenseman.
Yeah. Oh, there's guys that have him ranked like 15th and stuff. No. It's you're going to watch. You're going to see Tony. He's going to be high by the end of the year. He's going to be high on every. The NHL scouts have finally come around on him. His defense has been overblown. It's fine. And he'll only get better.
We heard the same thing about some people say it is. Yeah.
We've heard the same thing about Cale Makar. Exact same thing at this time of year in his draft year. His feet are so good and he's so smart and he's competitive. He's not like Ryan Merkley. He listens. He's a great kid. He's learning how to play defense. No, he's the real deal. He's like, I've heard him compared quite favorably to Erik Karlsson offensively, and he's going to be better defensively, I think, than Karlsson because he's a little bigger, a little more competitive and grittier. So that would be nice. That would be a nice piece to have. Imagine the power, like being able to trot out Hudson and Parekh on a power play
with the Suzuki line.
Yeah, I mean, you just pick your poison. It would be absolute dynamite. So, and then you turn around and you trade, a couple of good defensemen, young defensemen, to fill needs up forward. And the great thing about if they did take Parekh or whatever, because I think they want to contend next year, you trade one or two of the young defensemen, you get a piece that can help you now. Like it wouldn't be for another draft pick that you got to wait 3 or 4 years for him to be in the top six. They can trade a defense piece for a top six forward that can help them now. And I think that would be the So it's almost like people that think, oh, well, they can't get another defenseman because they're loaded on defense. Well, sure you can, because defense are great assets. They bring great value, and you just trade, you know, you trade the ones that aren't quite as good, right? And keep the
so best. You just answered the question, but you would take Parekh over a guy like Siliev if you were looking for a defenseman, because you talked to us about Siliev about a month ago. Or actually, a couple of months ago, you said that he was right there. He was probably at number two a couple of months ago.
Yeah. He was.
And so that's a pretty big package at 6'7", about 210 pounds.
Oh, absolutely. Well, even Siliev would be a great whoever gets Siliev is getting a great player. But I think Reinbacher is going to be their all-around, you know, their shutdown defenseman and Gouley. They already have the two guys that I think are going to be their shutdown guys. And Parekh could be a point-a-game NHLer. Now,
wow,
Montreal hasn't had one of those since Larry Robinson, or maybe Chelios a couple of years, but those were Norris Trophy winners, right? Parekh is going to score 30 goals plus. I went back in stats into the 80s, and there's not a draft eligible defenseman in the OHL that scored 30 goals in his draft year. Not one. There's been some great ones through the years, like Paul Coffey. Even Brian Fogarty didn't score 30 in his draft year. Chris Pronger,
amazing.
You name them. So this kid's the real deal, and he's rising. The NHL scouts all tell me now, like, and I've been saying it for a month or two now, he's special. He's just, his puck skills and poise are just amazing. So, I'd draft Parekh in a heartbeat.
All right. So, we're going to take some calls in about 10 seconds or so at 1-888-585-7425. 1-888-585-SICK is the number. So, look, I know how high you are on Demidov because I've seen you put the highlight videos up. I've seen them on your Twitter feed. So you at all obviously would not be afraid here of A, the Russian factor, and B, you know, a 5'11" Russian winger.
Oh, he's strong as an ox. I've never seen him knocked down. He's Kovalev. It just a shorter version of Kovalev. I don't know. He must have tree trunks for legs, just like Meshar or whatever, but his balance and strength are superb. There's absolutely no, you can't say he's undersized because he doesn't play it in any regard. He's strong, as strong a prospect as there is in this draft class.
But there's so much to talk about tonight: mistakes, turnovers, a really bad penalty, a lack of execution, one bad goal by Caden Primo, maybe two. The Montreal Canadiens will have only won one game this season when playing in a back-to-back. The Canadiens lose again. They're seventh last in the National Hockey League. They're 6 points behind the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're 6 points ahead of the Columbus Blue Jackets, who's fourth last in the National Hockey League. And Columbus has two games in hand. We're talking about top picks. Grant says that there's a top five that you absolutely can't miss. And he says that, you know what, he would take a defenseman if some of the best forwards were out of the way. He'd really want a Parekh. He would really want a Siliev. But he says if his top three picks, I mean, if he can get any one of those three forwards, Celebrini, Lindstrom, or Demidov, he's all in. Your thoughts? Let's open up the phone lines. Sammy and Yellow, let's take some calls.
You called. Presented by Playground.
Is presented by Playground. Yes. You called? Yes. All right. Okay. Give me a call at 1-888-585-7425. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll actually get to some of your questions as well if you put them up on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Twitter Live. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're watching on Facebook or on Twitter right now. We can use all the subscribers that we can get. The more, the merrier, of course. Comment sick, like it, share with your friends, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple. It's our way of feeling the love. Someone sent a tweet today, as a matter of fact, paying compliments to the podcast, saying that we got the best podcast right now in the province, and that's always pretty cool to hear when people think that. So thank you very much. We're trying. Lord knows we're trying. All right. Okay. Some questions or calls. Someone wants to know about Bev Dayum.
Zev? Oh, Zev Bium?
Yeah, Zev Bium. Pardon me.
Zev Bium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Dev? Yeah. Okay.
He'd be fine. Pick at, you know, if they're picking seventh or eighth or whatever. Another guy that can run the power play. Really great offensive skills. Still got to work a bit on his defense and stuff, but great feet, great agility. I don't know that that's the ideal pick. Like if it came down to, if you'd say, well, you know, Bjum or say Ginla Iserman, I'd probably go towards I'd lean towards the two wingers in that instance, because I think,
yeah,
you know, he's a tier below Parekh in my estimation, and that's the guy that I would, if you're going to target a defenseman, I don't think you can pass on him. Like if he's on the board when Montreal's picking, I think they have to take him.
So let's go to the calls. John, what's going on?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You?
Very good. Thank you. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think you're talking about all these players like Demidov and Parekh. I think the Canadiens really have to be smart and go after Demidov. They need a superstar forward. They need a first-line guy because they don't have any star in the first line for a long, long time. And for them to get to the playoffs, they need a first line. I would trade, like, I swear I would trade 25% of the team. If they have to trade draft picks, four draft picks, three first round, second, these guys are going to be 3 years down the road. They need to get a guy like Demidov. Really do.
Well, Kovalev, you know, was the last guy that was that dynamic, I guess. But, I mean, if you can be patient, I think you're going to see that Slavkovsky's that guy, you know. But, yeah, having another one, that dynamic would be great.
You know what? But you know what? I don't agree with you there, I have to say. Like, I looked at all his, like you look at clips and stuff of potential players, right? I looked at all of Slavkovsky's clips, even from this year, from last year. He is one of the worst passers I've ever seen for a first overall pick. He does not have a lot of hockey sense.
Wow, I disagree with that.
No.
He works very hard. He's going to be a good two-way strong power forward. That I agree. I like his work ethic, but he is not a good playmaker.
Who made the two best passes tonight, Tony? Slavkovsky made the two best passes tonight. That pass to Caulfield? Who made the nicest pass? Caulfield got robbed. No, Slavkovsky's excellent playmaker.
His IQ is
off the charts. You're wrong, John.
No, I'm not wrong. You know what? I'm gonna.
You can watch all the clips you want, but I'm telling you, you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. You know what? In 3 years from now, okay, if I'm wrong, I'm gonna call you and admit I'm wrong. But I know I'm not wrong because I've seen when he passes good. The time that he passes good is when he has open space or the guy is completely open. When there's guys on him very close and they're very tight, he is a terrible passer. The best passers, they can pass no matter what. There's guys on him. There's other guys because they know how to project the puck. They know how to pass the puck because they anticipate where the guy's going to go after the puck. He does not know how to do that. Go look at all his clips and you let me know. Look at every one of his past attempts.
I don't have to look at his clips, John. I've watched every one of his games for the past 3 years, and I can assure you that he's not a bad passer and that he has high IQ. I disagree with you there. So, I mean, we can keep saying you're wrong, but that we're not getting anywhere with this, Tony.
So, John, John, before we let you go, if I understand correctly, I'm going to give you some names. And you're going to tell me who the best passer of the bunch is, okay? You ready?
Joshua Waugh is the one First, let me tell you, Joshua Waugh is
hold on a second. I'm asking you something, and you're telling me first something. Can I ask you something, and then you answer?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. So, Nail Yakupov. Patrick Steffen. Alexander Daigle. Joe Murphy. Wendell Clark. Doug Wickenheiser, Dale McCourt, just to name a few. Okay.
Yeah.
Billy Harris.
I know where you're going. Go ahead. Yeah. I know.
Okay. Slavkovsky. Mm-hmm. Who's the best passer of the bunch?
None of them are very good passers, but.
Who's the best passer of the bunch?
None of them.
Just give me an answer. Who's the best passer out of all of them?
None of them are very good passers.
Can you please answer the question? Who's the best passer out of all of them? If you were doing a multiple choice and you had to pick one, who would be your pick?
None of them are good. They don't stick out. A good passer sticks out. Yeah. Joshua Watt is a good playmaker. He will be a better playmaker than Nick Suzuki. Put it that way.
Joshua Roy is going to be a better playmaker than Nick Suzuki.
Yeah, eventually.
You're not a sportscaster for a living, eh? Or a scout? No.
What?
You don't do sports radio or television or podcasting or scouting or anything like that, do you?
You don't need to, man. I'm just asking you.
You never answer my questions.
About scouting.
But you never answer my question. Okay, but so I'm just saying. Do you do scouting? Because you're saying that half the people don't know anything. Do you do scouting? I'm curious.
I do, because I watch a lot of clips. I do it just for my own enjoyment.
Oh, okay. You don't work for anybody. Okay, you just do it for your own enjoyment.
No,
okay.
I work for myself because I like to know if I was
good for you.
If I was the GM of the Canadian, because I want Canadians to do well. I want them to do well, and their scouting has been the biggest problem why we are nowhere for the last 20 years. Okay. That's what's frustrating for me.
Okay. And Joshua Roy, in your opinion, is a better passer than Nick Suzuki, or will be?
He will be. He's smarter than
Listen, from your mouth to God's ears, the Canadians will have a really nice problem if that happens.
They will have a nice problem, but they still need a number one center. Joshua Roy is not... He's too slow to be a play driver. He needs good players around him. That's why he was good with Connor Bedard, because he's so smart.
I understand that.
Guys who are fast and who are better quality players. He can't be on a third, fourth line.
Yeah. Now, is Joshua Roy a center? I'm just wondering.
No, he's a winger.
Correct. That is correct. Yeah, because you said he can't be a number one centerman. Yes. All right, John. Thanks so much. I mean, this call stood out for like so many reasons. I'm not so sure that's a good thing, but thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, where are we going exactly? I'm speechless. Yes, John, excellent call. Fantastic.
well, he watches clips. That's how you scout a player. You watch clips.
I watch clips, too, in various categories, too. Amateur, homemade. So we're talking about something else. All right, okay. Let's go to Jerry.
Yes.
I watch all kinds of clips. Jerry, what's going on?
Ça va bien, mon ami, et toi?
Mais oui, oui, oui. Do you watch clips too?
No, but I watch you with Jean-Charles go at it. I find it very entertaining, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
He wins one debate versus me, I'm going to retire.
Okay, well,
when he wins one. I think I'm going to be there for a while, yes.
I have a question for Grant, if you don't mind. I was wondering, you know, because there's two schools of thought when it comes to young players, right? Some believe that they should go to the Rocket for a year automatically, and others believe that you can develop them in the NHL. I am for the second version, especially with guys that are drafted top 10. When they sent, for example, Caulfield down last year, I said, "Oh man, he's dead." You know, I don't think he's coming back. Luckily, we saved him, and Slavkovsky the same. I mean, some guys, because I asked this question to you, Tony, a while ago. How many guys have been sent down for a year, not 2 weeks or 3 months, but sent down for a year, and came back and were top 4D or top 6 players. I can't think of one. I mean, Jake Evans, he's a fourth liner, but a guy that's been there for a while, I think they get lost. They have to get up to speed with the NHL, and you see that with Slavkovsky. It took a while. People were patient, and other teams are patient with players, but I know some people here are not so patient, so I was wondering your take on this.
That's a good question. Is he asking me or you, Tony?
You go ahead. Go ahead, Grant, and I'll chime in.
That's a good point. And I think, you know, in recent times, I mean, I can give you an example. Larry Robinson played a year and a half in Nova Scotia and became, I think safe to say he was a top four defenseman. But I mean, that was when Montreal was loaded. And I think we're getting close to that point where it's going to be at the point. Well, I think we have one in the minors right now in Logan Mailloux. And we did have one for most of the year in Joshua that can be top six, right? I mean, he didn't stay the whole year because of injuries and stuff. I think the plan probably in going into the season was to have Wah down in Laval all year and Mailloux. But because of injuries, they brought up Josh, and he may be sticking for good. But next year, especially, I think you're going to start to see there's going to be guys down there that probably for the year that down the road have top six and top four pairing potential because the depth will be there finally. It's been 30 years since Montreal's had this kind of prospect depth, and it's coming over the next couple of years because – I mean, Meshar is going to be coming in, Reinbacher, Beck, Kapanen, a whole bunch of high picks that are already going to be added to a nice young core. And it'll be at the point where the depth will be so that they'll be able to keep, just like Detroit did for years. Remember, Tony, they'd let guys percolate in the minors for 2-3 years, learn the system, bring them up. You know, they'd find roles as it went along, but you have to have the depth. And in the past, especially under Bergevin before that, any guy that was half decent that was going to be in a top four role was playing pretty well. You know, he didn't even go to the minors, you know, like Galchenyuk didn't play in the minors. Kotkaniemi didn't play in the minors. You know, examples like that. Gallagher didn't play in the minors.
You know who played in the minors? Who ended up being pretty good? PK Subban and Max Pacioretty.
There you go. Yeah, PK's
good. PK Subban example. Played an entire season with the Claude Hamilton Lemieux. Bulldogs. And if you recall, was it Markov that was injured in the playoffs? And PK Subban was called up for 2 games during the season, I think versus the Flyers or something like that. And then he played... He played in the playoffs. It was in 2010, the first 2 rounds that they beat Washington and Pittsburgh. He was fantastic in the playoffs. Max Pacioretty played less games in the American Hockey League than Subban, but he played them over 3 seasons. Remember that? He played Plekanec. And then got called up. And then Plekanec played 3 seasons in the American Hockey
League. Yeah.
I think Claude he played about 200. If memory serves me well, Plekanec played about 250 games in the AHL.
Yeah, yeah. So there, you know, there have been examples in over the past 15 years, but it few and far between. And certainly in the last 10 years, there haven't been, you know, too many. But I think we're, like I say, I think organizational wise, depth wise, with the prospects, you're going to see it over the next couple of years. Mailloux being an example, and Wah this year of guys that maybe didn't play the whole year in Wah's case, but
is
a good example.
And we didn't talk about Carey Price and winning the Calder because I think, Jerry, you mentioned the top six as a forward and the top four as a D, correct? One more question. Go ahead. Yeah. And we'll get to one more call after this.
Because a lot of people have been saying, you know, I'm tired of rebuild. We've been rebuilding for 30 years. It's never happened. This is the first time I remember in 30 years that they're trying a rebuild, and I think they're doing a good job. Give them time. We have our top line. We got a bunch of D's coming in, and we just need to tweak a second line, and then we'll start being in contention. So have a nice evening, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Jerry and Longueuil.
I agreed a lot more with Jerry than I did with John.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sure Jerry watches clips too of what? Maybe what you and I watch. Where are we going, Sammy? Do we have Avery?
Yes, sir.
Avery, how are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. You, Tony? What's up, Greg?
Very good, thank you. How old are you, Avery, if you don't mind me asking you?
I'm 18.
You're 18 years old. Okay, I sensed a very young voice. And so
he can watch clips too, Tony. Sure. He's old enough.
Yes, sir, exactly. That's why, like, you know, I'm calling. Because, you know, one day maybe pair me up on D there, but all jokes aside. My question is, like, you know, we got a lot of guys there on defense, back end. And, like, who would you ship out first, like, current defensemen? Like,
ooh, that's a good question. I mean, David Savard might get a nice return at the trade deadline, I think. I know Tony thinks because he's got another year left that he won't be prized, but I don't think that would, you know, a team that plans on contending over the next 2 years would love to have David Savard, I think.
Grant, I would trade him for sure, but I just say this, because Rheinbacher and Mayu might not start next season in Montreal, and even if they did, they should be insulated a little bit. Because of that, I think it would probably be better for Savard to play one more season to be traded at next deadline. But if somebody gives me a really high return for David Savard, I mean, I'm trading him. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, guys, I'm not trying to sound delusional here, but I'm someone who's very high on Jonathan Kovacevic, or as Tony likes to say, Kovacevic. I really like his style, you know.
Now, you like his games or you like the clips?
Games, you know, I have practice like every night. So, like, you know, I can't watch all the time, but I watch when I can, you know. I've seen you a couple of times there at my work, Tony.
So you're glad that I didn't say Kovacevic is the guy that they should trade then?
Kovacevic.
Kovacevic. I'm glad, because, like, I feel like he brings a good size, especially, like, preseason when I went to see them. Like, Gouli, Kovacevic, that's a very good duo. He's very strong, you know.
I noticed he dropped the gloves a couple times, too, recently, and handled himself pretty well.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, he could take care of himself. He could take care of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like last year, a lot of guys, like, weren't sure about him. And, you know, I see people aren't, like, big fans of him, but, like, not everyone needs to be the flashy guy, you know? He does his job.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, the Canadians are next. They play the New Jersey Devils next. And this is going to be a really good one, because the Devils just lost the New York Derby versus the New York Rangers. They got crushed tonight. Despite outshooting the Rangers 40-18, the Devils lost 5-1. The Canadians are in Jersey on Saturday afternoon. It's a 2 p.m. start. So after playing on Wednesday night at 7, on Thursday night at 7, the Canadians play again Saturday at 2 p.m. So that's three games in just over 3.5 days. So let's see how much they have left in the tank. Thank you, Avery, for calling. Thank you to all the callers.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Maybe they should trade.
Thank you, all of you. Yeah.
Maybe they should trade Allen to New Jersey over the next day or so. It sounds like they need a goalie. So
It sounds like they need a goalie for sure. But after watching the Montreal Canadiens tonight, they probably need one too. anyway, Grant, special thanks to you. I really appreciate it. We're going to try and get off in a hurry here, because before we go to bed, I'm quite certain that you and I would probably like to watch some clips. We'll do that. And very important. Very important. You watch those before you go to bed. Thank you, Grant. Appreciate it. Once again, his on the website, www.recruits.ca website. You can get mock drafts. You can get articles. You can get scouting reports. You can get interviews. You can get everything. It's your one-stop shop to know everything about prospects, and especially prospects of the Montreal Canadiens as well. Just under $3.99 or just under $4 per month to $3.99 per month. You get absolutely everything open up to you. Thank you very much. He's also co-host of the Recruits Draftcast podcast along with Shane Gaumont. Keep an eye out for it. Of course, it's on YouTube. You can subscribe. It's absolutely free. Thank you, Grant. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
There are a ton of exciting clips on our website. I highly recommend that you subscribe.
I will definitely subscribe, and I'm going to make my way there a little bit later on tonight. All right. Thank you, Grant. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Once again, thank you all for watching. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, our Sick Army, our Sick community. We will be back tomorrow. Of course, we go weeknights at 10 p.m. And that's it. The Montreal Canadiens lose by a score of 4-1 to the Penguins in Pittsburgh. But look at the bright side and embrace the tank. Look, il faut jouer pour gagner, my friend Mario does. And that's what they're going to keep on doing. The Canadiens just didn't, you know, they brought it. You know, they brought it. They're an average team. They have some injuries. They're a little down. It's two games in two nights. But they worked. They worked. And mistakes are part of the learning curve. It's part of the process. Marty St. Louis talked about it. He actually thought there were more positives than there were negatives. And in the end, if the Montreal Canadiens get another good piece, it's going to be one step closer to being a very competitive team, which they'd like to get to in the next couple of years, of course. For Agnello, Sammy, Juliana, Master Control, I'd like to thank our partners, Energy Transportation Group, as well as Labitta TB, as well as Playground, and as well as Accent Insurance Solutions. They're Cavallaro. I'm Marinaro. Me.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TB. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.